Oh, there are laws. There are laws. Just like there is the law of gravity. Whether you believe it or not, it's there. If peradventure you climb a building and try to fall, that's when you will know that there is a law. Hallelujah. There are spiritual laws. The first spiritual law is the law of tithing. The law of tithing, Leviticus 27, verse 30. Leviticus, 27 verse 30. Everyone, please, can we read? One, two, read. It is the Lord, and it is holy unto God. How many of the tithe? All the tithe. It says, all the tithe of the land. Your tithe. What is your tithe? The word tithe comes from the word a tenth. It is a tenth, 10% of your income. Please write. 10% of whatever blessing God brings to your life. Now, because we operate an economy that has to do with finance, money, currency, because of currency now, we no longer carry bags of rice on our head to come and drop and just say, this is my tithe and all of that. Hallelujah. The Jews were an agrarian people. And because of that, that was why all of these things were written. But for us now, it's just your finances. Because it represents your highest value and sacrifice in terms of your physical impact and the reward you get from it. 10%. Hallelujah. Now listen. I'm going to say something that sounds very controversial. There are people who preach that you should give 30%, stretch your faith and give 30% and 40%. Because it is money, nobody will refuse it. But that's not, the Bible says obedience is better than, there are other opportunities to sow into the kingdom. Call tithe what it is. Are you getting my point? Now, there are a few times where God gave certain people customized instructions that were just a product of their relationship with God. You cannot carry your personal experience and lord it over people. Are you getting my point now? There are churches that they make people bring 50%, 100%, bring everything and say, there is first fruit. There are lots of other things, we'll discuss it. Your tithe is 10%. You can give the 10% and give every other thing. There are many avenues. We are going to discuss that. But listen, I'm telling you now, your tithe is your 10%. There is a reason why God said 10. He would have said 2, or he would have said 21 to 50%. It's your tithe. Choose anyone. God is very meticulous and he's exact. 10% is your tithe. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8 to 12. Another word for the law of tithing is the law of open heavens. It's the spiritual law. One of the spiritual laws that is responsible for opening your heavens. Not just financially, but even financially. Somebody is changing tonight in the name of Jesus. The law of open heavens. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8. Will a man rob God? Question. Answer it. Answer it for yourself. Will a man rob God? It's an encouragement. It was a question, but use it now to challenge yourself. Hallelujah. Put your name there where a man is. One to go. Will Joshua tell man rob God? Some of you, as you are saying it, God is saying, you see, this is what has been happening. There are many robbers of God in the house of God. Many robbers of God. And please listen. Some of you hear this and you think it's some gimmick by pastors to collect your money. Let me say something. Everybody is an authority somewhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? A professor is an authority in his field. Not everywhere. Don't listen to garbages by intellectuals. They are not spiritual people. They don't know how heaven's economy works. You cannot go and meet a man who is not a spiritual man, and you are telling him to help you analyze the principles of the kingdom. The Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of the spirit. It doesn't add up to them. There are many people, because a man is sound intellectually, does not mean he has spiritual understanding. There are many politicians, many people who insult pastors, genuine men of God, and say all kinds of things because they think that because they have political knowledge, it means they have spiritual knowledge. And they take politics. Get out! Leave us in the house of God. We stay with God day and night, and we understand. This is our area of grace. Let us function. Don't let any politician just come in, and all kinds of people who are misleading people in the body of Christ, being manipulated by demons and stopping people from entering their breakthrough. I know that there are abuses here and there, but let me tell you the truth. Any man that is not faithful in tithing is scripturally entitled to poverty. Scripturally. The Bible says, he that breaks the hedge, the serpent is permitted on legal grounds to strike. Are you listening to me, please? So beware. There are people who all they do spiritually is they analyze, they downgrade spiritual things and just look at it from an intellectual plane. And when they add 1 + 1 and they don't know how it will become 7, they say it's wrong. It may not be wrong. Just say you do not understand. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? And there are many of us, especially some of us, as young as we are, we have already imbibed this religious mindset to scrutinize and criticize everything we don't understand. We bring it into our religious mold. And once we find out that it doesn't add up, rather than with all humility, seeking to understand. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the wise men saw the star. Is that true? When they saw the star, they knew that this star was spectacular. It was leading them somewhere. They didn't have sufficient knowledge to understand what it meant. But with all humility, they followed the light. And that light brought them to Jesus. There are many people who need to humble themselves. The recession has humbled a lot of arrogant people who laugh and scorn at the church. Let me tell you, individuals may fail, but the church of God as an entity is progressing. It cannot fail because Christ is the head of that body. Hallelujah. The law of tithing. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? This is where you have robbed God. In tithes and offerings. Verse 9. This is the consequence. This one is not the cause of the law. This one is the cause of disobedience. Are you getting my point now? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring ye how many? All the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So God wants that there be abundance, that there may be resources to carry out activities in my house. And God says, if you have done your own part, prove me and see the things I'll begin to do in your life. Number one, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. Number two, if I will not pour you out a blessing. Number three, okay, a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11. Number three, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Number four, he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Your ground is anywhere you sow. It could be your job. It could be your marriage. It could be whatever it is that you're doing. It says, and he. So that devourer is not a thing. It's a spirit. It's a living being. And he, that devourer, shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its young before its time. There are lots of people with all kinds of premature happenings in their lives. Things that you know, this one is the signature of the devourer. Thus saith the Lord, verse 12. And all nations shall testify They will call you the blessed of the Lord. He said, for you shall be a delightsome, a well-desired land. 7 prophetic blessings for being faithful in just one law. One of the laws. Is somebody getting blessed tonight? You must make up your mind. Open your eyes tonight, brothers and sisters, and see where the devil has been robbing you of your financial prosperity. The first thing that happens is that many believers say, if I give, where will I get another one? Question, how did the first one come? Your tithing is a proof of trust. Hallelujah. If you cannot bring out 10% of your money and say, Lord, I trust you. I come because I love you, and I come because I know that your word is true. If you're not a faithful tither, don't get angry at God. Many of our parents get angry. Maybe they are collecting 200,000 or 300,000 or 400,000 and they look 40,000 to go and give a pastor. Are we stupid like that? Don't turn our head. This is the problem. They think they are giving a pastor. They think they are giving the man of God. Are you getting my point now? What you do not know, listen. The Bible says, if you do this to the least of my people, you have done it unto me. When you come and give in the house of God, please listen to me. If you give tithe that is for the house of God, and the man of God eats the tithe, it's between him and God. God will not hold you accountable for it. You have done your own part. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Oh, but there is faithfulness. The rewards of faithfulness are endless. There are many of our parents struggling. They've been trying to build one house for 10 years, 20 years. When the house is almost completed, somebody will do something from the village. Everything will be destroyed again. The moment, have you seen families like that? The moment money enters, everybody gets sick until the last time finishes. Then everybody will be fine by themselves. That's the devourer. Brothers and sisters, that's the devourer. There is a place that your tithe pays, or there's a role that it plays in the kingdom. You can choose to believe what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Could it be that many of us have been robbed of entering these dimensions of blessings? Some of us go and tell our parents these things in love. There are some of us here that are parents. We have children. We've not been practicing the law of tithing. I want you to know that this is one of the irrefutable spiritual laws. Even unbelievers give 10%. They don't call it tithe. But almost all the multi-million and multi-billion corporations dedicate at least 10% of their money. And they say it's for charity. Are you following me now? If a believer plants during dry season, there is every tendency that you still suffer, although he's a believer. Is that true? If an armed robber comes to plant during rainy season, the rain will come because he aligned with the season and the principles that agriculture brings. This is how lots of unbelievers, they are interplaying kingdom principles and it's working for them. Tonight, God is giving you an opportunity to make a decision. Hallelujah. We're still going to continue, but while you're seated, in the next 2 minutes, I want you to pray and say, Lord, grace. I've not been a faithful tither. Don't bow your head. Pray. Pray. Open your mouth and pray. There are many of us, some of you outside, wherever you are. Please, this is a serious business. Your children, this adherence to this law will determine whether 10 years from now, 5 years from now, you will be part of those crying together with your children, or you will break certain cycles in your family. Some of us, as you are hearing this right now, you may be young, but God is counting on you to break some chains. Enough is enough. Pay the price now. Pay the price now. Lift your voice and pray. Say, Lord, grace. I have robbed you and I am sorry. I take responsibility, O God. Many of us have yielded to fear. You are not supposed to bring your tithe because you are afraid. God is a loving God.
He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not of evil. How can God rob you? God is no man's debtor. God does not rob men. Please lift your voice and pray. Cry for grace. Grace, oh God. From today I make up my mind that I will be a faithful tither, not out of fear, not out of religion, but out of revelation. I see that this is a key. I will teach my children how to tithe. I will teach my workers how to tithe. I will teach my family members to tithe. I will guide them and help them to be faithful in tithing, so that the heavens will be open. No power in existence will stop the law of tithing. If you insist and say, Lord, I'm ready to comply, God is more than able. Before you begin to abuse God and insult Him and say He's not helping my family, I'm opening your eyes tonight to see the loopholes. Business without tithing will end up in failure. Ministry without tithing will end up in failure. A corporation without tithing, a non-tithing family, they are entitled to financial hardship. Thank you, Jesus. Look up. Praise the Lord. Let me say a few more things on tithing. Listen. If you are a business owner here, I want you to know that tithing does not just apply to a person. Hallelujah. When Abraham went to go and rescue Lot, right? When he came back with all of the blessings, he was not only him, he was representing many people. The Bible says in Genesis 14 that when he came back, he took a tenth of everything and brought it to Melchizedek. And the Bible says Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, son of the Most High, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And his destiny opened up. The great Abraham. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we do not owe God one naira as a ministry in tithing. The finance department, they all is a standard rule in this place. Before we do anything with finance, the tithe comes out. When we started the school of ministry and missions, even that, no matter what we are raising money for in Koinonia, the tithe must go to God. Are you understanding this? So don't just think that these are things we are just saying. You must make up your mind. If you cannot commit to God your 10%, then it means you do not trust that He's able to bless and multiply. You want to be a billionaire. You know what is the tithe of 1 billion? 100 million. You think you can carry 100 million and just go and give like that? We are going to pray when we are done. One of the graces that we must receive is the giving grace. Hallelujah. The giving grace. The giving grace. There are many people that do not have. If you don't have, it is not human to carry money like this and take to the house of God and just go and drop. No, there is a grace. That was the grace that was upon the Macedonian church, that they gave even beyond their limits. It's called the giving grace. Many of us do not have it. We are too greedy. Everything that enters your hand, you spend it on every kind of thing, sickness, disease, any other thing but God. Hallelujah. Your tithe. What is the storehouse? Very quickly, let's clarify the issue of this storehouse once and for all. What is the storehouse? Because the Bible says, bring the tithe where? To the storehouse. The house of God. So what is the storehouse really? In scripture, there are three places that qualify to be called the storehouse. Number one, God's first idea of a storehouse from the Bible is the primary place where you receive your spiritual nourishment. Are you getting me? The place where you receive your greatest spiritual nourishment. For many people, it's their local assemblies, because, you know, they are there, they are committed, they are workers in the church, and then they are giving. Number one, the primary place where you receive your spiritual nourishment. Anywhere you receive your primary spiritual nourishment. Primary there means the major spiritual nourishment that is building your life. That becomes the storehouse. Number two, it could be a ministry. Not necessarily your ministry, but a ministry that is committed to the works of the kingdom. Please get it. A ministry that is committed genuinely to the works of the kingdom. There are people, for instance, that sow in their tithe into maybe Benihim ministry, Kenneth Copeland ministry, and it's not their local assembly as it were. Are you getting my point now? But it's a ministry that they believe their vision and they are given into soul winning, building and equipping believers. Listen, if you pay your tithe to a dead place where the activities of the kingdom are not happening, it can affect your harvest. It's in the Bible. It's the same thing as a farmer carrying his seed and going to tow around in a soil that is non-productive. The seed will not produce, not because it is not good, but a poor soil killed it. Number three. Now, and these ones are, they are special situations where I'm going to talk to you. The vessel or the storehouse can also be an individual. A man of God. Listen, please. I want you to listen very well so that you don't confuse what I'm saying. It can be a man of God, a vessel. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there are conditions. Are you getting me? Now, there are ministries that the spiritual fathers or spiritual leaders in the Lord. Are you getting me? I'll give you an instance. Like Bishop Oyedepo, for instance. He is the president of a ministry. Aside from the tithe of the ministry, he has his own ministry. Are you getting me now? So, they take this tithe. They don't just go maybe to Redeem or Kenneth Copeland. That vessel that they are drinking from on behalf of the people. Are you getting my condition now? And they honor them with their tithe and they speak blessings. Abraham went to who? Melchizedek. Melchizedek was not a city. He was a man. And he brought his tithe to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek pronounced a blessing upon him. Hallelujah. There are lots of ministries, for instance, around that by the grace of God look up to us in ways for spiritual direction, and they've committed themselves. They come and they tithe in Koinonia here. I don't even know. This is what they are doing. Are you getting me? But I'm saying, whether of these three, there are special conditions for the tithe to occur, because there are many men of God who just sit down and somebody in church just corner a few people and say, I qualify to be the storehouse. Come and bless. I've explained to you that the condition where a person can be a storehouse, but the house of God is where you must bless. Is somebody getting blessed? These are the benefits, the first law. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Let me touch on one more law and then we'll round up this night. Next week we'll talk about the natural laws and we'll talk about wealth creation, the principle. The second law is the law of seed time and harvest. The law of increase, the law of giving. Luke 6:38. Everybody read, want to read. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met without, it shall be measured unto you again. This is a spiritual law. Genesis 8:22, please. When Noah came out of the ark, the Bible tells us that he took 7 unclean animals and 2 clean animals. Is that true? That's how the animals entered the ark. 7 of the unclean, 2 of the clean. So when he came out, the Bible says he offered 2 of every animal. That means he offered and finished all the clean animals. How they came back is a technology we must still find out in the Bible. While the earth remained, verse 21, 21 please, let's start from 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. This was Noah's sacrifice. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. 22. While the earth, that means this is a law that is valid for as long as the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat. God joined it with other laws so you can verify if it's still working. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Has cold and heat stopped? Has summer and winter stopped? As day and night stop, then it tells you the law of seed time and harvest is still at work. Are you getting me? The day these three stop, that day know the law of seed time and harvest has stopped. But from the day they gave birth to you till today, the sun still rises, sets according to our perspective here. There is still cold and there is winter. That means the law of seed time and harvest is still at work. Very, very important. What is the law of seed time and harvest really? What is it? Simply put, the law of giving is a law that this earth, please listen, very, very important. This earth functions by giving and receiving. That whatever it is that you give, there is a technology that is able to multiply whatever you give and return it to you. Now, I'm not talking about money. When you give love, you are practicing the law of seed time and harvest. According to the law of God, love will be multiplied and it will come back to you. Are you getting me? When you sow seeds of kindness, kindness will be multiplied and it will come to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means whatever kind of harvest you want to see in your life, you sow the seed for that harvest. Oh, this is so important. This is not seed faith. I'm going to teach you on seed faith. We'll come to seed faith. I'm teaching you the general law of seed time and harvest, often called the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. Those who live by the sword, they have sown that seed, they will die by the sword. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is a very powerful law. That means everything that leaves my hand does not leave my destiny. Everything that leaves my hand goes as an investment into my future. And the Bible says it will find a way of multiplying and coming back to me. That means for all the givings you have done truly, if you have not received the harvest, God cannot lie. Expect it. It is coming. Are you following me now? Very, very important. Now, there are many kinds of givings and offerings that come under this law. Let's run. Number one is offering in the house of God. What you call offering. The seeds that you sow when you go to the house of God. What you call offering. That's one way to practice the law of seed time and harvest. Deuteronomy 16:16. Please, let's rush. So we have to pray. Our time is gone. Offerings that you bring to the house of God. Deuteronomy 16:16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. Hallelujah. He says, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacle, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Hallelujah. There is an admonition in scripture that every time you are coming to appear before the Lord in the house of God, as much as God has blessed you, you should not come to the house of God empty handed. There is a blessing that follows your offerings and your givings in the house of God. Please, never give just because it's offering time. And now you don't want to feel bad. There are lots of people that come to the body of Christ. They come to the house of God without a predetermination. They just come and they say offering time. And I know it's not easy to just plan, but you can train yourself. Hallelujah. And part of your preparation for coming to church is that this is an offering that I'm bringing for God. So that when it's offering time, you're not just looking. 100 naira, you return it. 50, you return it. 20 naira, even the 20, you return the new one and carry one. Say, usher, please. You just dump the thing there and say, Lord, at least you... No. Let your heart be in what you are doing. When I finish teaching you these principles, you will respect any man that is blessed from the kingdom. And you will see why God can punish certain people when they open their mouth castigating blessed people in the kingdom. Are you seeing now? You see that it's not child's play. There is what you must do. It's not cheap. It's not free. Offerings in the house of God. Number two, I call them kingdom investments. Your givings for the building of the Lord's house. Kingdom investments. Every other seed and commitment that you make so that there will be a smooth running of the activities that happen around the house of God, I call them kingdom investments. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Kingdom investment. Not necessarily that maybe like project 10,000 like this. That could be, but you can sit on your own and say, Lord, I'm committing myself. God is blessing me. There is 50,000 coming in for me. Maybe 5,000 or 1,000. I'm going to commit myself that this is for kingdom investment. This is for building of the Lord's house. This is between you and God. You see, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, please and please, don't you think this is some spiritual gimmick to bring out money from people? Satan doesn't want the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blessed. There are natural laws we are going to talk about. But your natural laws have failed already if you don't comply to the spiritual laws. Every unbeliever pastor, they have commitments to various spiritual houses or places of worship. Is that true? Whether they are business people or whatever, once there is a project and they hear, sometimes even without anybody coming, they run because they understand the implication. I want you to see how unbelievers play these laws and the way they are building a very great financial future with it. Commit yourself. Never be in a place and you don't find something. Let me tell you. See, years ago, I used to play the keyboard for a ministry. A man called Reverend Emmanuel Amechi. They were part of the team of people that had the opportunity to preach to Obasanjo and all of that. Now, they came and they started a ministry in Jos, pastor. I used to go and play keyboard for them. Listen, nobody ever gave me 1 naira. Are you getting me? I would trek from my house. Maybe sometimes after I come back from my local assembly, I will go there and I'll play keyboard for them. And I will play with all my heart. I was responsible for my finance and everything. That's the law of seed time and harvest. Are you getting me? Kingdom investment does not just mean money alone. Your participation. Every worker in the house is participating in the building of the kingdom. This is practicing the law of seed time and harvest. It's not just your finance alone. The Bible says you will reap where, it didn't say you will reap where you sowed, it says you will reap what you sowed. So even if you are not here tomorrow, that thing will still bless you. Hallelujah. The only thing I remember getting in that ministry was one bottle of Fanta, I think, and then one cassette during the launching of the man. That was all I ever got. It's my own keyboard, though. Pastor, I'll carry it, maybe bike or sometimes from my pocket. And I will go there, but I was doing it joyfully. God is my witness. I never complained once to say, this man, it was even my parents that were saying, this boy is a small boy. What is all this one again? But I was doing it joyfully. But God was watching. This is what happened to David. While he was changing his father's sheep, God was seeing him and saying, I'm seeing the heart of a king in this shepherd. Many of us, when you see certain people, you don't know what stories and experiences made God to vow some vow about their life. There was something Abraham did that made God to vow that in blessing, I will bless this guy. These are the kinds of people that the Bible says he reproved kings for their sake. I listen to me. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. How much are you committing yourself? How much are you committing your resources? Brothers and sisters, kill greed this night. Kill greed this night. I saw lots of things in my family that I did not want. And I made up my mind that I was going to change a lot of things in my life. I have seen this thing work in my life. I have seen this thing work in my family to the glory of God. And I have seen this thing work by the grace of God in this ministry. As a ministry, let me tell you, we have done some dangerous things. I will not begin to say it here. Maybe as we proceed, we may say a few of them. When you see God blessing us and there is an open heaven, find out. There must be something working. And this is what we are teaching. Hallelujah. Kingdom investment, the building of the Lord's house. From today, make up your mind. Once money comes, don't just start jumping around and say, oh, I'm happy. Time to chop, time to enjoy. Think kingdom. There is a reason why God has blessed me. I am a steward. Part of this money is for me. Part of it is for the kingdom. I keep one thing. Let me help you become efficient in paying your tithe. Get envelopes. Get envelopes and just put them close to you. So that when money comes, before any devil will come and confuse you, you have put your tithe quickly. Put it and remove it, seal it, and take it away from your presence. Many of us have had tithes of 3 months piling close to us. One day the thing gets tough, you just open one. Now, many of us do a lot of funny things. And the fact that God kept quiet about it is because he knows we are humans and he's allowing us to grow. A day will come, you will receive the gravity of that disobedience. Don't touch your tithe. It's holy unto God. This is not to threaten you. This is just the truth. It's how the law of the kingdom works. Hallelujah. 2 more and then we'll pray. First fruit. Many people have asked me so much question about first fruits. I'll just touch it briefly. This is one of the ways that we can express our givings. Now, look up. What is first fruit? In scripture, the concept of first fruit, it was ordained by God. It was practiced by the Jews. It was not just part of the Jewish law. The concept of first fruit, listen, this is the spirit behind the activity. If you don't understand it, even those who practice it do it religiously. Or they do it because some churches have registered all the members. If you drop your first fruit, you sign. Later they call you and say, elder, what is wrong? This is March. You have not dropped anything. They didn't pay you. And it so happens that many churches, the employers and the employees are in the same church. So, and the boss is part of the working committee. You can't lie that they didn't pay you. You see, all those kind of things. So let's get it very straight here. Does first fruit exist? Yes. But listen, is first fruit compulsory? No. The same way saying is bathing compulsory? No. But not bathing creates consequences, correct? Are you getting me now? Your first fruit is a symbol, is a prophetic way of honoring God and showing him, I'm sorry, that he's first in your life. Are you listening to me? First in your life. that when you take your first fruit, and now I'll explain it in details, and give the Lord and say, Lord, I'm honoring you. Maybe the first profit of your business, or maybe your first salary as a worker. There are different ways that people practice first fruit. Others, maybe January, there are churches and people who their salary for January, they take it to God and everything and all of that. It's not just about giving God money. It's about telling God that you are first in my life. Are you getting the concept now? So if you just bring money and just throw and you are frowning around and say, these people serve very wicked people. I hate January. Every January is the time they eat our money. No. Understand the spirit behind what you are doing. Bless you. If you do not practice first fruit, it doesn't mean that you are not going to enjoy the blessings of God. It's just that there are certain dimensions you may not be able to enter. As simple as that. Are you getting me? Your tithing, your giving, your kingdom investment, they all have their input to your financial life. It's like saying, if you don't do extramural, will you pass jam? You know, that's the question. It depends on many factors, the kind of school you went to, and all kinds of things like that. But it will always be an advantage, and it will add to you spiritually. First fruit. Please, never allow anybody to put you under force and pressure and try to threaten you with a curse. To say, Sam, I'm waiting for your first fruit. If by next week you don't bring it upon this altar, I will stand on this altar and provoke a curse. At least don't let anybody confuse you. There are many people, there are many men of God that are bullied. They bully members with all kinds of prophetic messages, and they get it very serious. They say, I saw a vision, a curse was coming upon the church, and those who did not give first fruit, they were affected, and everybody just runs around. They carry and give him, please don't give him less rest. Everything that is not done out of revelation will not profit you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll just leave it there. So first fruit is very important. As you grow in your giving and you see the benefits of giving, you see, that's why our walk in the kingdom is by faith. There are many people, their faith cannot carry them beyond certain things. So don't be angry if both of you are blessed and you see somebody making certain progress. There are certain laws he's practicing. Please, are you getting me? I don't want to go into so much detail. I'm just giving you what we need here. The last one that I will talk about is the concept of what we know as prophet's offering. People have suffered because of this thing. Let's clarify it once and for all. It's just such a thing as prophet's offering. Are you blessed tonight by what I'm teaching you? Praise the Lord. Two scriptures, 2 Kings 8 from verse 8 and 9. What is prophet's offering? Now look up. In ancient times, listen please. In ancient times, prophets or oracles of God, as we know, men who communicated the counsel of God, be it from the Levitical priesthood and all of that, because they ministered in the house of God perpetually. Are you getting what I'm saying now? They had no opportunity to participate in agriculture and other things, other secular activities. Things have changed now, but they did not have that opportunity. Are you following me now? And so there were ordinances from God that it was not good and it was not a blessing to go and meet a prophet of God, a true man of God, to go and meet him just empty-handed like that. That it does not command honor. You don't honor God, you don't honor him. Are you getting my point now? And the king said unto Hazael, listen, the king, praise God, take a present, are you seeing it now? Take a present in your hand, where's my present? Take a present in your hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord of him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? The king told the man, don't go and meet a man of God empty-handed. He said, take something in your hand as a sign of honor Are you getting me? When it was time for Jacob to enter his throne, for Isaac to enter, Isaac to now bless his sons. Is that true? The Bible says he told his son, go and make me venison. Bring something in your hand so that it will provoke a blessing from me. Are you getting what I'm saying? The king said, take something in your hand. Don't go and meet the man of God empty handed. So we see there that that's the concept of prophet offering. An offering, something that you hold in your hand to honor the grace of the servant of God. 1 Samuel 9 verse 3 to 13. I'll say it and we'll briefly touch the imbalances there and then we'll wrap up for today. 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 3 to 13. This was the encounter. And the axes of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So something was lost. They needed a breakthrough in their life. Please listen. I want to teach you a powerful principle. There is still the law of seed trait. We're coming there. But I want to teach you one very powerful principle. And they were lost, so they needed a miracle. And he said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with you. Arise and go and look for the asses. Verse 4. And he passed through the Mount Ephraim and passed so on and so forth and all of that. But they did not find it. Verse 5. And when they were come to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return. Let my father leave caring for the asses and begin to take thought of us. Verse 6. Listen. He says, and he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. Everybody say a man of God. And he is an honorable man. He said, all that he saith cometh to pass. Now, let us go and meet him. So they were confused. They needed breakthrough in their life. Are you getting me now? This was Saul and a servant. And he said, let's go back. Our father will be worried. He said, no. In this city, there is a man of God. There is an honorable man who is able to solve our problem. He said, let's go and meet him. The word of the Lord comes to pass in his life. He said, peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Verse 7. I want you to know that this was a culture that was practiced among the ancients. And that's why a lot of them got lots of blessings. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring to the man? Are you seeing now? They knew that it was unlawful to go and meet a man of God just empty handed to say, we have come to meet you. And all of that. He said, for the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? Verse 8 now. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give the man of God to tell us our way. Are you following me? And so on and so forth. And then they met a man and they brought the gifts and he told them and he called Saul, an anointed Saul. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the concept of prophet offering is simply a spiritual way of approaching a man of God with honor, knowing that God can use him to bless you and solve your problems. Now, today, in our day, is the concept of prophet offering applicable? Absolutely. It is applicable. It's simply the law of honor. Whether you call it prophet offering or whatever, it's simply the law of honor. Let me teach you something, brothers and sisters. It should not deter you that you don't have maybe money to give and you cannot go and meet a man of God. Now, I'm aware that there are lots of men of God. If you come and meet them and you don't have anything, they don't hide it. There is a basket or there is something. Nobody will even tell you as you are entering. Those who are taking you there are saying, is the man, hold your 30,000. There are even those who have put their bill. They have suffered enough. They said, look, I won't be foolish again. Prophecy, 30,000, this and that and that. And it's working for certain people. They may not be necessarily fake, but I think it's inaccurate. Are you getting my point? Money and anointing does not mix together. People are supposed to do things out of revelation. However, on your own part, I never go and meet a man of God higher than me without. Nobody comes to my house and not get something. There must be something. I must insist that you take something. It's the law of honor. There are some of us who are fond of, you know, and please, I hope you know that I'm not threatening you and say, start packing. God has blessed me. God doesn't owe me anything at all. Are you getting my point now? So don't think it's just some gimmicks to steal out money from people. No. No. My blessing is not tied to you. My blessing is tied to my practicing the kingdom principles. Imagine if God, if I was totally dependent on you for my blessing, I would have died by now. But God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Do you believe what I'm sharing with you? I will never go and meet a man of God higher than me, even if he's just to greet, even if he comes into a city. There are men that I hear that just came into Zaria for a program. I'm not even related. I'll package something, maybe a tie or wine or something. I'll say, quickly, take it to that man of God. Just tell them I want to greet them. Or sometimes I can just put recharge card quickly, 1 5 or something. It's the law of honor. I've taught you this. Commanding results. It's the law of honor. If you've been doing it, stop it. Many of us, on your way to go and see a man of God, you branch a restaurant, Chicken Republic. You broke 5,000 there. You finish eating and you belch. You say, hey, by now, let's just go and see him. And you get up and come. And you even sit down. Sir, things are not changing. You say, God will bless us. And, you know, I'm not talking of me. It is very bad. It's dishonoring. Very dishonoring. So while on one side, we don't just teach people that if you don't have a gift, it means the anointing will not flow, you will not bless you. That's erroneous. But let me encourage you. I want to encourage you. Have it as a spiritual culture. Beyond koinonia, you will provoke lots of things. There are places I go to minister, and I tell you, the way they treat me and the kind of honor they give me, I find out that there are unusual open heavens. Even certain things that I don't want to share, I find myself sharing it. A seed can provoke something in your direction when you honor people. You say, honor your father and your mother. It's a law. Honor people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many of you have never blessed a man of God. See, I say this, it's just because I have to teach you. You don't know how difficult it is for me to teach all these kind of things. Many of you have never. We are here blessing you day and night. I've said it and said it. Some of you don't even know our birthdays. You don't even know my birthday to say, Kai, this person is doing all of this. Some of you try to call, and I got the call, and for 1 hour you are just talking and rambling and making all kinds of noise, and you are not wondering. You know, this very unemotional attitude. There are many families like that. They gather their whole family. We are coming for deliverance. We are coming for this. And the man just comes, where do I sit down? And they sit down, the wife too sits down. Demons are disturbing us in this house. We had that deliverance ministry or what is it? And you know they are talking. It's very wrong. Very wrong. No man honored a man of God in scripture and did not have anything. You are not buying the miracle. But I'm telling you, it's a law that will open you to dangerous dimensions of blessings. When Jacob brought the venison for Isaac, when he took up the venison, it provoked a blessing from within him. Hallelujah. I've shared with you my story on how I packaged a very dangerous seed and I left to Canaan land. Hallelujah. I went to go and honor God's servant there. I didn't get to meet with him, but I still went to practice that law of honor. And without contradiction, the letter is blessed of the greater. When I came out from there, praise God, when I came out from there, I was to enter the car and the Holy Ghost told me, come out. And I came out, he said, kneel down. I laid my hands there. He said, from today, every city you go, the heavens will be open to you. The same way you are seeing it here. So when you see a reproduction of certain things, understand that there are laws that work. There are people who keep criticizing because we are flying our steps. They just look, how are these people doing it? These guys, they must be fetish. That's why you see certain people bring judgment on themselves. You were not there when we were paying the price, but you now see the reward and begin to criticize. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws. One of the reasons why this ministry will never go down is because we sow into your life. There are bosses here. You know, sometimes people ask me, they say, why do you spend so much money on bosses? You don't want to know how much we spend per week just on bosses, chairs outside and the rest. Sometimes I come and I rebuke the protocol people and I tell them, why are there some people standing? Go and get more chairs. Hallelujah. And they order dozens of chairs again and they still need more. I say, still go and get it. It's the law of honor. That I'm a man, I don't know what grace you carry. If everybody is sitting here, you are a bank of grace. It's a privilege that I'm standing here ministering to you. I will be foolish to believe that you don't carry something. Many of you are product of different anointings. Some people have spoken certain blessings into your life. As a ministry, we are humble enough to tap into it. And we tap into it by sowing into your life. Are you listening to me? When we wanted to contact the spirit of excellence as a ministry, we looked at COSA, the Commonwealth of Zion Assembly, and we looked at them and we found out that these guys had a level of excellence we wanted. We carried all the leaders, all the heads of departments and the ministers and myself. We went to Abuja. Some of you were there. We lodged in a very expensive hotel. It cost us so much, but it was the law of honor. Let me tell you, when we got to COSA there, we went and we humbled ourselves. Our head of department, media, went to meet their head of department and walked there. Our head of protocol went to meet their head of protocol and walked there. Are you getting me? Honor. And of course, we cannot go empty handed. We went there. When we finished everything, the pastor came and the senior pastor came. They just humbled themselves. I can brag and say, look, I'm a man of God. I'm seeing uncommon demonstrations of the Spirit. There is always something you do not have. You must learn how to receive it. And we went and we humbled ourselves there and they spoke to us. We have seen certain levels of excellence, but when we came back, we came with a spirit and an anointing. Many of you have missed out on many anointings because you dishonor men of God. You are not... See, the way many pastors suffer in many ministries. God blesses you. Ministers are here suffering, speaking over your life. Let me tell you, if you know how much research and the things we do to bring this material, while you are sleeping, we are awake. The Bible says, he that ministers to you in spiritual things. You should minister to the person in carnal things. The carnal there doesn't mean fleshly. Make it a point, a duty in your life that everywhere you find yourself and there is a man of God here, practice the law of honor. As much as possible, please don't feel bad from today to say, okay, you are coming to greet me, I don't have anything. Don't feel guilty at all. Are you getting me? But I'm teaching you. There are many people who don't have the means sincerely, but I'm teaching you it's a law. Begin to practice it. Hallelujah. I'll never forget one time I went for a ministration in a particular city. I won't call it because there are so many people downloading the teaching. And I was so humiliated. Pastor, I felt so bad. I said, Lord, this is not fair. When I went to that city where they kept me, I was going to ask the people and say, please, where is a very good hotel here? Let me relocate and book for myself and stay. I didn't come for slavery here to come and stay here, for God's sake. It was a horrible place. When it was night, one sister just entered quickly as if I'm going to sleep with her. Bam, bam, bam. She just pushed the door, dropped everything and ran away. I said, what is all this? When she brought, listen, I'm trying to communicate a point. She brought this whole thing and I just sat down. I greeted her, she didn't even answer. Dropped everything and then she fed out. I opened it. They made indomie and one egg with la casera. I had spent that day. It was a very far city. I said, Lord, is it that I could not take care of myself? You have been faithful to me. What is all of this? I don't take indomie. I don't take la casera. Listen, I need to say this. If this is all I say, we'll round up now and pray. There are many of you who want to invite a man of God. Don't bring a man that your financial, if you cannot honor his grace, be patient. There are so many people that want to bring men of God. I want to bring this. We must bring this person. You are not ready to cater and take. You bring any man and humiliate him, you will bring war on yourself. I'm teaching you a powerful spiritual principle. I had to go and buy malt that night. I just bought malt. I took it. I gave thanks. And honestly, I was not offended. Praise God. The next day, nothing. There was no breakfast. They didn't ask whether I'm fasting or I want to eat. Later they just came, they say, we have come. The car they carried me, they chartered one car. At least do something presentable. Are you getting my point? It was hot, it was horrible, I was humiliated. I said, goodness, what is this, oh God? I said, well, Lord, I went and it was a great meeting. God blessed all the people. I paid my flight ticket from here to the place and I did everything. When I finished, by afternoon, they brought up frost soup for me and something. You know, they just came and dropped it. If you know this cooler, this one, that this small one, that's what they just came and dropped. And were three or four pure water or something. I said, what is this? I'm not exaggerating. It was a humiliating experience. And I spent 3 days there. On the third day when I was done, I was happy. I laughed. Do you know what happened? I want to tell you the pain of many ministers and what has made some people to do certain things. Don't just sit down and criticize and say they are materialistic. Praise the Lord. After this, we'll rise up and pray. This is what happened. And when I finished everything, the people came, they were all pinching themselves. I told them, please, I need to catch my flight. I have missed that. I wanted to come back fast. Hallelujah. And then when it was time, the president just came. The envelope that they put the honorarium, you will know that it was not organized. One, you know, envelope that they've written something, then you just strike it. I'm serious. And he carried it and packaged it. It was not up to even half of my flight ticket. He just brought it and said, sorry, you know that we are starting, we are managing and all of that. And I just blessed him, blessed everything and slowed it back into them. Not because I was angry. Imagine if I had left everything and I came by faith. Are you getting me now? That I came by faith and say, I'm going to bless these people. Some of you do not know the pain. There are many men of God that are bleeding. There are many people that are punishing themselves, investing in the house of God. You forget that these people have lives. Are you getting my point now? While you are sleeping, they are praying for. It's a different thing if they are not serious. But where you see a man that is committed to your spiritual development, let me tell you, you rob yourself of certain dimensions if you do not bless them. Again, if you don't believe this, there is no problem. But I'm teaching you a very powerful principle. I always seek to give and not to take. This is why you see certain people entering some strange order of blessings. It works. Never invite a man of God you are not ready to honor his grace. If you don't have the means, be patient. Don't come and humiliate a man. A man has a wife, he has children. He must pay the school fees of those people. This is why a lot of men of God get into all kinds of manipulation, because of the pain they are going through. He now comes back home and the wife is saying, honey, well done. Oh, 3 days, I missed you. How far? No, nothing for the soup. And the man says, man, God was glorified. The wife said, okay, so when will we be glorified now? We have glorified God. Hallelujah. Prophet's offering is real. It exists. Next week we'll take it up from there. Rise up on your feet. Begin to pray and say, Lord, thank you for your word. Our time is fast spent. Just bless the Lord. Tell him, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lift your hands and give him praise. Thank you for your word, the law of tithing, your giving, your offerings, your kingdom investment, the honor that you bring to the vessels that God blesses you. Pray and say, Lord, the giving grace. Lift your voice and pray. The giving grace. Let it mantle me right now. The giving grace. That grace to give. That grace to give, the grace to tithe, the grace to sow, the grace to commit myself in your house. Go ahead and pray. When you pray that prayer, no power in existence will stop you. I'm telling you, you're on your way to financial dominion. Pray. Yes, Lord, thank you. Many of you, it's a mind shift that has happened to you tonight. I know our time is far spent, but it's worth it, because what you have received now, no man can take away from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, if you are here and you've not given your heart to the Lord, we've spoken about the law of honor. The greatest honor you can give God is to give Him back the life that He gave you. There are many of us that are here, we are living our lives by ourselves and for ourselves. The Bible says, if your hope is just in this earth alone, you are of all men most miserable. There are people who have never made a decision for Jesus Christ, inside and outside. There are others who have made a decision, but honestly, you found yourself derailing. The teaching on dominion, financial dominion, will only profit you if you are connected to Jesus Christ. So right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You've never given your heart to the Lord, or you've given your heart to the Lord, but you found yourself derailing. I don't care whether you're a Christian or you're a pastor. You are saying, Lord, tonight, I want to make it right with you. Please leave your seat and come here right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Leave your seat and come. Leave your seat and come. Leave your seat and come. Don't wait for anybody. I believe that there are people the Holy Ghost is talking to. Please, we're out of time. Keep coming, inside and outside. Don't be afraid. If the Holy Ghost convicts you, please come very quickly. Very quickly. If there are people that the Lord is speaking to, you've never given your heart to the Lord, or you found yourself derailing, there is nothing to be ashamed of. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Celebrate them. They are coming. I believe there are still a few people outside. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God bless you. Keep coming. God bless you. Keep coming. Hallelujah. Keep coming. As many as are coming, just let them come. Please pray with me very quickly. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you from the depths of my heart. Today, I make Jesus Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive cleansing and remission of my sins. Holy Spirit, come and live in me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that I'm saved in Jesus' name. Father, preserve these ones. Preserve them and make them mighty men. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Please quickly just follow the ushers. They'll have your details and they'll meet with you tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia 90 Network International, or follow us on Twitter www.twitter.com/Koinonia_JNI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Thank you, Network International, for taking the fullness of God's life on us.